Well, good morning and welcome to week two of Journey Church Online. We want to thank you so much for opening your home and allowing us to come into your home. It is such a privilege. It's such an honor to join you this morning. Let's have a great time. So let me begin by asking a couple questions. Question number one is, how is everyone doing on day five of Safer at Home? Or let me ask all the parents a more directed question. That is, how many parents have a greater love, have a greater appreciation for your child's teacher? Wow, what a crazy time. Also, I want to take this opportunity to give a shout out. Here in River Falls School District, we have great schools, we have great teachers, great administration, and we just want to thank them for all that they do, and we appreciate you so much. Well, before we open with prayer, I want to begin by sharing with you a social media post that somebody sent my way this week, and I want to share it with you to kind of lighten the mood as we begin our journey this morning. And here it is, reasons to watch church online. I want to share with you four reasons to watch church online. Number one is there's no parking. Isn't that great? No parking. Number two is this, refill your coffee anytime. We want to encourage you to do that. It's your home. You do what you want. Refill your coffee anytime. Make yourself at home, okay? You are at home. Number three is this, relax in your pajamas. And I'm sure there's some of you even now that are still in your pajamas. Way to go. Enjoy it. And number four, this is one that takes the cake, and that is reasons to watch church online. You can mute the pastor. And I just want to say, don't even think about it, okay? Don't mute the pastor. We're going to give you a good word this morning. So let's do this. Let's begin this morning. If we can bow our heads together, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to join together online. And Father, we're excited about this opportunity and what you're doing. And Father, we just ask God that you would be with us. I just thank you for your promise that you're with us. Two or three are gathered together. And God, we just ask that your presence would come and fill homes even now. Open our hearts, open our minds to your word. And Father, I just pray, God, as we hear your word, that we'll leave today being doers of the word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. I can't hear you one more time. Amen. Well, thank you so much. Well, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, this week our governor enforced a health order called this order here, Safer at Home. So here's the deal, folks. For the next 25 days, which I think takes us all the way up until April 24th, we're encouraged not to leave our home, but only for the essential. So stay home, but only go out for the essential for things like groceries, healthcare, banking, exercise. Yes, it's good for you to still go out and walk. I saw a few people walking today, six feet apart, but still talking, having a great time. So needless to say, what I want to say that we would all agree that these are certainly unprecedented times. There's never been a time like this in history before. It is crazy. But here's the deal. With all this being said, what I want to do is I want to keep this challenge in front of you. Actually, it's the challenge we looked at last week in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. And what I want to do for the remainder of this COVID-19 pandemic, here's what I want us to do as a church, as an online audience, is I would love for all of us to adopt this as our theme verse as we go through these challenging, unprecedented times together. And here it is. Paul says in Ephesians 5:16, he says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil and challenging days. So I want that to be our foundation as we go forward. So instead of us just kind of just saying we're going to get by and wishing these and possibly wasting these days, let's, with God's help, let's do this. Let's make the most of these opportunities. Let's make the most of the day that we're in, even today. Or as I said last week, most of the world sees this time as a negative, but here's my challenge for us, for an online audience, for God's people, is could it be that we can take a negative and that we can turn it into a positive? That's my challenge as we go through this COVID-19 season together. Because, folks, here's my question to each and every one of us this morning. My question is, could it be that God wants us to redeem these days? Instead of wasting them, make the most of the opportunity. So that's the challenge we're going to continue to put before you as a church online audience, of saying, hey, we're going to be different. We're going to make the most of these days. We're going to turn a negative into a positive. So let me ask you a question. What did you do this week, the past 6 days since we met last? What did you do this week to redeem the time? Or may I ask it this way? What did you do this week to turn a negative into a positive? So let me ask you a few quick questions, kind of in review of last week, but also kind of an accountability, and that is, first of all, did you serve others this week? Did you serve others? It was so cool last week, about an hour and a half after the service, I received a text from a guy, and he told me in the text, he said, hey, my family is going to make the most of today, and what we're going to do as a family, we're going to go take a family walk. And I thought, wow, that's great for the family. But he said, we're going to also redeem it by, as we're on our walk, we're going to pick up trash in our neighborhood. I said, wow, what a creative, what a great idea to redeem the time, take a walk as a family, get closer, but you're also serving your community. I thought, what a great idea. So did you serve others? Number two, did you encourage anyone this week? Did you encourage anyone else? Instead of staying inward, did you send out a phone call? Did you send out a text? Did you send somebody else a word of encouragement to say, hey, we're going to get through this thing together. Hey, I'm glad we're going through it together. So I want to encourage you, encourage someone else. Number three, third question is, did you work on any projects around the house this week? Did you do anything around the house? Did you redeem the time? I think it was Monday or Tuesday when I came home for lunch, and I walked into the house, and I saw Heather had done this. We have a little desk in our kitchen, and above the desk, there's a cabinet, and she had taken everything out of the cabinet. All the old mail, the calendars, the coupons, all the things that just seemed to gather, and she took everything out. And then what she did, she only put about half of it away back in the closet and threw the rest away. And I said, way to go, girl. You're listening to Pastor Mike, aren't you? And she said, whatever. Okay? So anyway, just do some things around the house, make the most of the opportunity. And I think the biggest question is, did you get closer to God this week? What are some of the steps you took to get closer to God this week? Because I want to challenge us, let's not turn from God, but let's press in. Let's use this opportunity to even get closer to Him than ever, ever before. So if you've answered yes to any of these questions, I just want to say, great job, that a boy, that a girl. But I also want to encourage you, don't rest on last week's performance. I want you to build on it, even do more this week. Continue to say, God, what can I do to redeem this time? On the other hand, if you answered no, I just want to let you know, and I want to encourage you, there's still more time. There's still more time. Don't waste another day. Use this week to make the most of every opportunity, because I believe that God wants to grow us in this season. He wants to see us thrive, not just survive. So let's go on this together. So with all this being said, here's what I want to do today. This is the direction for today's message, and that is we have 25 days in front of us. We have 25 days remaining with this safer at home health ordinance that's been put into place. And here's what I want us to do, each one of us, myself, my family, you, all of us, everyone, and that is let's do this. Let's focus our attention on one particular behavior. That's all I'm asking this week. Could we focus on one particular behavior that has the potential to make a big difference in our lives and in our families, in our home, in even our world? So here's the one particular behavior that I want to challenge all of us. This is what we want to do this week. We're going to do this together. And here's the challenge. This is the behavior, and that is simply this. I want to challenge all of us to do this, to give thanks. Can we all say that together this morning in our homes? Let's look at each other and say, give thanks. That's the challenge we're putting before us this week. Let's look at a verse. This is going to be our verses for this morning, our text. It comes out of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. These are awesome verses. Paul's writing to believers. He's writing to a church in the ancient city of Thessalonica, and he gives them these instructions. He says this. He says, guys, be joyful always. Verse 17, pray continually. And then, guys, let's check out verse 18. This is so big. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. And then he concludes by saying, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to focus on verse 18. So we're going to keep that verse up there on the screen. Verse 18, God is calling us as his children, as his people. He says, hey guys, I want you to do this. This is my will for your life. And that is, let's give thanks. Let's do this. Let's make this happen. Let's give thanks. So here's what I've been doing all week, thinking about this message. I was doing some research, some homework, and I came up with this thought, why is it so important that we give thanks? Why is it important? And I came upon this article, and the title of the article was this. Listen carefully. It said, 29 scientifically proven benefits of giving thanks. Let me say that again. 29 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. So these aren't biblical. These are scientifically proven reasons why it's good to give thanks. Let's look at some of these together. We're going to give thanks. And here's what happens when we give thanks. Giving thanks can, number one, giving thanks can make us happier. Who doesn't want to be happier? One of the ways that we can be happier is simply by giving thanks. So that's worth gold right there. Giving thanks. Number two, giving thanks reduces symptoms of depression. Isn't that amazing? It reduces symptoms of depression. Number three, giving thanks can improve our self-esteem. Who doesn't want to have a healthier self-esteem? Well, a great place to start is simply by giving thanks. Let's move on here. We got about seven more. Giving thanks, number four, wow, can improve your sleep. So maybe we can put the pills away and begin to give thanks, and that might be the remedy to improve our sleep. Number five, this is so good. I think this hits us right where we're at today as we're in the middle of this pandemic. Look at this one. Giving thanks can increase our resilience. Resilience. You know what that means? Let's look at that word resilience. Resilience is our ability to bounce back and recover quickly from setbacks or stressful situations. I think we would all agree we're in a stressful situation and we all need resilience, but how do we get resilience? Could it be that you can be more resilient by being a person who gives thanks? Let's look at a couple more of these. Giving thanks can lower your blood pressure. Can lower your blood pressure. That's great. Number seven, giving thanks can strengthen our immune system. Wow. That's a big word in our culture today right now with what we're going through is having a strong immune system. You want to have stronger immune system? Give thanks. Let's look at three more. Giving thanks can make people like you better. Who doesn't want to be liked better? Well, a good place to start is by being a thankful person. Two more here. Giving thanks, number nine, increases our productivity. So I was thinking about that this morning. If I'm a boss, if I'm a leader, who do I want around me? I want people who are thankful because thankful people increase their productivity. So this is so practical. It's amazing how God's word is relevant. It's practical because God made us and he knows how we work the best. But let's look at number 10. I think this is the icing on the cake. Number 10, giving thanks can make you a more understanding, more compassionate, more helpful, and a more kind person. Wow. So I was thinking about this morning too, and I was thinking if I'm a single guy or a single girl and I'm kind of in the hunt for a mate, I'm thinking, man, you know what I'm going to look for? I'm going to look for someone who is thankful because they're going to be more understanding, compassionate, helpful, and kind. So those are just some great practical reasons, scientific reasons why we should be people who give thanks. So as we can see, there's several good reasons why we should do this. But what I want to do is I want to return to verse 18 because I want to look at something that people often miss and they look over. And that is, I want to look at the verse one more time. So let me read it one more time. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances. I want you to look at what it does not say. So let's look at what Paul does not say. He does not say this. Paul does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. So Paul wouldn't be here today saying, hey, let's give thanks for COVID-19. He wouldn't be saying, hey, let's give thanks for social distancing or hey, let's give thanks that there's a lot of people in some very tough spots financially and possibly business closures and unemployment. Or, hey, let's give thanks because church doors are closed. He doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances. Let's look at what he does say. He says, hey, let's give thanks in all circumstances. How many people know there's a big difference between the word for and the word in? And that's what Paul is saying, give thanks in all circumstances. And I believe what this means is that even when we're in the middle of it, and we're in the middle of it right now, we're in the middle of a storm, we're in the middle of uncertainty, we're in the middle of, some people have fear, we're in the middle of anxiety. But Paul would say, even when you're in the middle of it, find something to give thanks for. Even when it doesn't look real good, I want to encourage you, stop, even in that time, and give thanks, because I don't think God wants us to get bitter in this season. I think God wants to grow us in this season. But in order for God to grow us, we're going to have to be people who do what? Two words, give thanks. Give thanks. So you might be here today and you're thinking, wow, what is there? What could I possibly give thanks for? What I want to do is I just want to just throw out three simple things that each and every one of us can stop this week and say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's look at these together. Things to give thanks for. Number one, I think we can all give thanks that God provides freedom from worry. Freedom from worry. I think there's a lot of worrying that is going on in our world today. And do you know what worry is? I saw this definition a couple weeks ago and I fell in love with it. This is what worry is. Worry is assuming responsibility for things that are beyond our control. And folks, I want to tell you right now, we're living in days that are certainly beyond our control. We don't have control. We don't know how long this will last. We don't know the extent of it. It's out of our control. But there's a lot of people that are living in worry because they want to control everything in their lives. But here's the thing. I really believe as followers of Jesus Christ, people who are children of God, that we don't have to be controlled by our worry. And I want to let you know, Paul gives us the antidote for worry. And the antidote for worry is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Let's take a closer look at the antidote for worry. Let's look at it together. You might want to write these verses down, by the way, so you can look at them later this week. Here's the antidote for worry. Paul says very clearly, he says, don't worry about anything. Wow. Anything. How many people know anything covers everything? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. See, I love this verse because Paul is saying every time you begin to worry, use that worry as a springboard for prayer. So every time I'm beginning to worry, Paul is saying, this is my next step. My next breath should be no more worry, but I should pray. And he says, pray about everything you need. God wants you to get real with him. And then I love verse 7 because verse 7, Paul gives us a promise that if we'll do it God's way, we'll get God's results. And here's God's results, verse 7. Then you will. It doesn't say if. It says then you will or experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And I love this about his peace. His peace will guard your heart. And his peace will guard our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. I just think that's so good. And I've said for years in our church, I've said this and I believe it with all my heart, that when we do things God's way, and in this situation, instead of worry, we turn that worry into prayer. When we do things God's way, we get God's results. We get peace. But on the other hand, if we do things our way and we worry, how many people know we could be in trouble getting our own results? And oftentimes that leads to worry, sickness, anxiety. And I want to let you know God loves us and cares for us so much that he wants us to be people that turn the worry into prayer so that he can release his peace into our lives. So we can be so thankful that God provides us freedom from worry. Number two, things that we can give thanks for. Number two is simply give thanks to God for his promise to meet our needs. God promises to meet all of our needs. I love this verse. And by the way, I want to let you know needs are defined for, there's four needs that we need for our life each and every day. We need food, we need water, we need clothing, and we need shelter. Those are the four basic needs. Let me say them one more time: food, water, clothing, and shelter. And I love what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, and my God will. I want all of us to say that together. My God will. My God will meet all your needs. It doesn't say our wants. It says our God, my God will meet all of our needs, that food, clothing, shelter, all those things that we need. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And I think one of the silver linings of this whole pandemic is we're beginning to realize what's the difference between what is our needs and our wants. And I think it's a call back to our needs, and God is showing us, hey, this is the needs, and I'll take care of you. Just lean into me. Trust me. Call upon me. I'm there for you. I'm there for your family. I'm there for our nation, that, hey, he'll meet all of our needs. And here's the third and final thing this morning, things to give thanks for, number three. And I want you to hear this like you've never heard it before. And that is, here's something to be thankful for, and that is give thanks to God for his great love for us. And I want to make it loud and clear today to each and every person that's listening online today, throughout this week. I want to make it clear that no matter what's going on around you, the uncertainties, the fear, the things that are going on in your life, I want to let you know there's one thing that is solid that will never move, and that is that God loves you, that God cares for you. And you say, well, you know, I just don't feel that. I just kind of don't feel like I've earned that love. I want to let you know it's not a love that we can earn. It's a love that he gives us. Even before we were born, God's love for us was determined. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this truth. It says, but God showed his great love for us. How did he do that? By sending his son Christ, his son Jesus, to die for us while we were still sinners. And that's how much God loves us. Even before we did wrong, I want to let you know God sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to this world to die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. And I'm just so thankful that God's love extends to us and he never gives up on us, but he loves us and he cares for us so much. And it wasn't when we got everything right or we got better. It's because of who he is, not because of what we have done. So as we can see here this morning, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. I just want thanks to rise up in our hearts and our lives this week. Even when we're in the biggest challenge of some of our lifetimes, I want us to be people that we're going to be thankful. We're going to be thankful. So here's my closing challenge for all of us this morning. And I hope you adopt this as your own challenge this week, this season in our life. And here's the closing challenge is this. Let's thank our way through COVID-19 pandemic. Let's just give thanks. We're going to get through this by thanking our way through it. We're not going to be people who grumble. We're not going to be people who complain. We're not going to be people who are continually negative. And that's very challenging because there's some things we can say, this isn't fair, and it's hard. Yes, it is. And I don't want to downplay that. But my challenge is, will we be a group of people that we're going to thank our way through this thing? Every time we're tempted to be negative, every time we're tempted to maybe just give a bad report or complain, we're going to turn that into a thankful time. We're going to turn that into an opportunity to be thankful. So what I want to do is I want to close in a word of prayer this morning. I want to pray for all of us this week that we're going to step up to the challenge and we're going to be people that during this pandemic, we're going to learn even more so how to give thanks in every circumstance. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to come into homes today. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. And Lord, my prayer for all of us is in this season of challenge, in this unprecedented time, I pray, God, that we'll step up and, God, that we will make the most of every opportunity. And one of the ways that we'll make the most is we'll learn to be thankful people. Lord, that each day we'll learn how to count our blessings, that each day we'll stop and pause and say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, and thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you, Lord, today that we don't have to worry, but we can have peace. I thank you, Lord, today that you promised to meet all of our needs. I thank you most of all, God, for your love for us, that you love us. We are your children. And Father, you are faithful to care for your children, to take care of us. And Lord, I want to thank you for the greatest gift of all. That's the gift of salvation. That's the gift that was provided for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just thank you for salvation that's free. It's a free gift. And God, I pray if there's anyone out there that's never received this gift, that they would call upon you, Jesus. God, that they would turn from their sins and they would repent and they would turn and place their faith in Jesus Christ. They would put you in charge of their lives and begin to live for you. And God, I pray that you'd use this season in a powerful way in our nation, in our world. And God, I pray that you use this as a season where we turn to you for everything that we need. And God, we are thankful today that we can turn to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen and amen. Well, what I want you to do, in a few minutes, you're going to come and you're going to turn off the video. And when you turn off the video, I want to encourage you this morning to stay and have a little discussion time. And here's what I want to do. I want you to have a group discussion with one simple question. I want to have each and everyone in your home, maybe it's just a husband and wife, maybe it's a family. If you're alone, pull out a piece of paper. And I want each person just to share what they're thankful for. Let's begin the practice, not put it off to tomorrow. Let's begin today by saying, God, this is what I'm thankful for. And I want just people to share two, three, real just deep down things that they're thankful for. So I want to turn this into a Thanksgiving party this afternoon, this morning in your home. So let's have a great time doing this. Second thing I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you right now, even if you want to take a screenshot, I want you to place these three verses, the verses that we looked at this morning. I want to challenge you to put those verses in a high traffic area in your home. So each and every day, multiple times a day, you're going to stop at this place in your home. And I want you to read these verses, even if you do it out loud. It would be cool for some people to say, hey, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will in Christ Jesus. And we're going to just begin to develop a culture where we are people of thanksgiving. So please do that. By the way, if you do that, please take a picture and send me a text. I would love to see that there's people engaged. God bless you, and we love you. We believe that God wants to do something great in this season, in your life, and through your life. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.